The Martha Mead Society has again come to order. That gavel calling us to Walla Walla, Washington, might be an echo of Indian tom-toms because so many of them have sounded through the Walla Walla Valley. But we'll say it is, instead, a call to dinner. And a wonderful dinner it'll be if it includes the wheat hearts veal loaf Martha Mead will tell us about this morning. Martha Mead.
When I talk to you about the marvelous health properties of wheat hearts, I think sometimes I lay too much stress on how it builds up children. I'm not forgetting that the rest of you are interested in keeping well, too. And I'm always so gratified to hear how wheat hearts makes children gain and grow that I say too much, perhaps, about what it will do for small bodies. Wheat hearts is something really new, of course, in the way of food. It's as though some scientist had been able to concentrate the properties of spinach into a super spinach. And apparently, a great many of you have realized that the extra wheat life germ in wheat hearts is good for grown-ups, too. Because you've sent me your own recipes, including this cereal, in so-called adult dishes. You've discovered how you can use wheat hearts in dredging fish and chops, and how it can take the place of breadcrumbs and add new flavor and nourishment to many other dishes. Please let me say now how grateful I am to the dozens of you who have taken time to sit down and copy out your wheat hearts recipes for us. The rest of you members will hear about many of these novel dishes, one by one. We've tried all the recipes you sent, and they rank with the best that we've developed in this very kitchen. Today, our recipe comes from Walla Walla, Washington, and uses wheat hearts in a way I've never before suggested, as an ingredient to soften and lighten a veal loaf. Loaves like this are one of the most interesting ways to serve meats, I think. They give us such a chance to experiment with combinations of flavors. And these flavorings permeate every part of the meat much better than they can in a roast. Then again, there are the possibilities in meatloaf sauces. For all these reasons, meatloaves are the delight of cooks who like to use their ingenuity. Really, I believe meatloaves would be one of the most popular dishes if they weren't a little apt to become dry and solid in cooking, which is especially noticeable if you serve the meatloaf cold. This tendency to pack down is partly avoided by the way you regulate the heat in baking the loaf, but even more by the type of filling you use to lighten it. I know you'll be more than pleased with the effect of adding wheat hearts, as our recipe suggests. The wheat hearts, in addition to keeping the loaf moist, contributes an extra goodness with its own rich, nutty flavor. Here, then, friends, are the ingredients for the loaf. 1 pound ground fresh veal shoulder. 3/4 cup cooked wheat hearts. And the recipe for cooking is on the package, friends. 1 cup milk. 1 egg, 1/2 small onion grated, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/8 teaspoon pepper, and 1 cup strained tomato juice. Now, I'll just repeat those for you. 1 pound ground fresh veal shoulder, 3/4 cup cooked wheat hearts, 1 cup milk, 1 egg, 1/2 small onion grated, 1 teaspoon salt, 1/8 teaspoon pepper, and 1 cup strained tomato juice. Mix all ingredients together. Except tomato juice in order given. Fit into greased loaf pan. About 9 inches by 4 and 3 inches deep. Bake in hot oven, 450 degrees. For 15 minutes. Then lower heat. To moderately hot oven, 400 degrees. Pour over the loaf the tomato juice. And bake 30 minutes longer. Serve with some of the liquid surrounding the loaf. You know, of course, that all the recipes I give you over the air and all the recipes enclosed in the sacks of Drifted Snow Home Perfected Flour are tested under every baking condition by our Sperry staff of home perfectors. The day we served this loaf to our Sperry staff, we had with it baked stuffed potatoes and a green vegetable, which seemed so just right together that I'm going to tell you briefly how we fixed the potatoes. It's terribly easy to scrub your potatoes and push them in an oven. And when they're done, slit them open and butter them. Nearly every restaurant serves baked potatoes like that. But they're so much better when the center has been lightly beaten up with seasonings, then returned to the shells, and all this fluffiness browned delicately. They're easily worth the little extra trouble. But I warn you that once you've served potatoes this way, your family will call for them often. It doesn't at that take much time to make them. After baking, simply cut the potato lengthwise, remove the inside from the shell, mash it well, or put it through a potato ricer. Season with butter, cream, salt, and pepper, beating it up very lightly, and then stuff the shells again. And I always find the flavor improved when I sprinkle atop with finely chopped chives or a slight grating of onion. Return the potatoes to a hot oven for 10 minutes to brown, and when ready to serve, sprinkle with paprika. These baked potatoes accompany a hot meatloaf. For luncheon on a warm summer day, a veal loaf is very appetizing served cold. If you have any of those cool-looking green glass salad plates, use them as a background for a slice of the cold meatloaf, slices of fresh tomato, a stuffed cucumber boat salad, and a few crisp potato chips. Doesn't that combination almost make you wish hot weather were here already? A number of other Wheatheart recipes have come to me from Walla Walla. Perhaps that's because the women of Walla Walla hear a great deal of shop talk about the properties of wheat. Perhaps not. Perhaps they just happen to have discovered the versatility of Wheatheart. Anyway, we of the Sperry Flour Company feel especially friendly to the people of Walla Walla, because our mills buy a large proportion of the 5 million bushels of wheat shipped from Walla Walla annually. Most of our Sperry staff have been to Walla Walla, and we agree with Al Jolson, who says that its citizens loved it so well, they named it twice. Walla Walla has played a very important part in the settling of our Northwest. Lewis and Clark stopped there on their famous trip of exploration, and a few years later, Walla Walla was made a fort. It was visited by almost everyone who came to the Columbia River country. And when the Whitmans founded their mission nearby, it became still more the refuge for weary pioneers. Then came the Indian Wars. And does that remind you of what happened at Walla Walla in 1856? Ever since I first read the story in the third grade, I've been thrilled to hear how Governor Stevens walked out practically alone to meet 5,000 angry Indians. They were so disarmed by his bravery that 5 tribes of them signed a peace treaty. The Indians broke it almost immediately. But that only proves what courage Governor Stevens had in facing them. Do tell this story to your children, if they don't already know it. With history like that, Walla Walla was bound to become an important city. Now, though, it's notable for the most peaceful of reasons. Visitors remember the enormous wheat fields surrounding it. And that something substantial, like an older eastern city, distinguishing Walla Walla itself. You remember about its fine schools, its interest in music, and its unusually comfortable homes, set far back from the wide paved streets and sheltered by large shade trees. It's the trees and the beautiful lawns and the fact that 9 streams wind their way through the city, which gives us the impression that Walla Walla is one great park. The same conditions of soil and climate that make Walla Walla such a garden spot have their effect in producing the superior grade of wheat which grows throughout the county. As I said, much of this wheat is purchased by the Sperry Flour Company. In those inland seas of yellow grain is one of nature's best provisions for keeping you and your family well. And the stronger and firmer the wheat growth itself, the more vital is that wheat life germ added so generously to Sperry Wheat Hearts. Before we close, friends, let me say, be sure to look at your grocers this week for a poster with a pad of free recipes for a new chocolate and white marble cake. This delicious cake tastes as though it represents a whole morning's work, but actually, you can mix it up in 11 minutes. We thought in our Sperry kitchen, and so did the home perfectors, that it was one of the finest cakes we've ever put together. Won't you take one of the printed recipes from the poster at your grocer's with my compliments? And that's all. Goodbye to you, friends, in our KUJ chapter at Walla Walla.
I certainly can add my personal endorsement to Martha Mead's marble cake. We don't often see marble cakes these days, but I think they deserve to come back, along with all the other old-fashioned things in style again. As Martha Mead said, the recipe for the marble cake is waiting for you at your grocer's. Or if he hasn't it, of course you can receive it by writing to Martha Mead, care of the Sperry Flour Company, San Francisco. Will you join us again next Tuesday morning? We're making a very short trip this time, a little farther west to Yakima, Washington.